Okay, can I have you guys do something with me just for a moment? I want everybody to stand up. Those who can stand up, I want everyone to stand up. Okay? I want you to lift your arms high as you can get them. Lift them up. And I want you to say, Jesus, I receive your word today. Father,
I receive your spirit today.
And I do not want to leave here the same way that I came. Amen. You can have a seat. Okay, how many of you have a Bible with you now? All right. So we're going to spend some time in John chapter 11. We're going to talk about Lazarus. You know, that's a cool story.
Amen.
That Lazarus was raised from the dead. All right. Go through and read this. If you've got your Bible and you've got your tablet or whatever, and you can do highlighting or underlining or anything, I'm going to stop in the middle. I'm going to have you underline or highlight some things about this story, okay? So the first verse is that very verse. I want you to start off by underlining the first verse. It says, now there was a certain man who was sick. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her Martha, or her sister. So I just said Lazarus was a man who was what?
Sick.
Okay, that's important. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, and this is important too, this sickness is not to end in death, but love Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer where he was. Does that make sense? Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he just stayed put. Just stayed there for 2 days longer. That's important too. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going to go there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Then he said after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. Okay, the disciples are a little thick here. They didn't get it. So they said to him, Lord, if he's fallen, my mom always told me that if you know, I'm sick and I'm feeling down, all I got to do is take a nap, and maybe I'll feel a little better. Or, Lord, remember in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when Elijah was whining and moping and complaining, I want to die, and God said, you're hangry. Here, have a Snickers bar and go take a nap. Right? You remember that? So they're going, if he's asleep, he'll recover. And Jesus is going, he's dead. He's dead. He's not asleep. He's dead. And they're going, oh. And he's going, and I'm glad for your sake that I was not there. That's important. So that you may believe, but let us go to him. Therefore, Thomas, who is also called Didymus, that means twin, by the way. Thomas, I think, was a twin. Said to his fellow disciples, let's also go so that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for how many days?
4 days.
Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Okay, verse 21 is important. But then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know he's going to rise in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus said to her, this is important, I am the resurrection and the life. He who will, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." So I'm going to skip down. She went and she got to marry the teacher. Into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to go to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came to Jesus, where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Then what happened?
Jesus wept.
That's the most important of this for this teaching. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" So Jesus, being deeply moved within, again came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the deceased, said to him, "Lord, really? I mean, by this time, Lazarus is going to stink. He's going to smell. He's been in there for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. Go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. Okay, my very first question to you, why did Jesus weep? Multiple choice. Was it because Lazarus was dead? Was it because other people were weeping? Or was it because unbelief? Yeah, but I'm going to tell you the answer kind of is all three in a way. Let me go back. First of all, let's do the unbelief. There was a certain man, Lazarus, who was what? Verse 1. Sick. So Jesus knew that he was sick. Jesus knew he was not dead. Jesus knew he was sick. Yet he did what? He stayed 2 days longer. Now, if Jesus was primarily weeping because his friend Lazarus was sick and was about to die, don't you think Jesus would have left right away? Yeah? But it says, then he got there. Well, let me say this first. It says, our friend Lazarus, and they didn't get it, right? And so he says, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So again, he has a confrontation with Martha. And Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Okay, so Jesus knows what's about to happen, right? Jesus knows that in about 3 minutes, I'm going to these people are going to see. So why is he weeping? And it says he saw other people weeping, and he became deeply moved. So here we see that because other people were weeping, he became deeply moved. So not only is Lazarus dead and he's sad about that, you know, who wouldn't be sad that their friend was sick? Who wouldn't be sad that their friend had to even go through suffering and reach a point where they ended up dying? Even if you were going to raise them from the dead, who still would not be sad about that, right? Okay, so then he saw other people and then he wept. But then some of them, this is verse 37, some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. So yes, all three. The answer is really all three. Did you know that Jesus cares about the things that you care about because you care about them? But not only because you care about them, because he cares about you. Do you know that? Want or what you need, I really care about what I want for you and what I need for you. That's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve knows the best for our life. The God that we serve knows what he wants for us, and he knows what he wants to give us and needs to give us. Yes. So do not hear me say that Jesus cares about the things that we care about for the same reasons. Okay? So, for example, we care about money, or we care about provision, and we have this sense of pride for these things, for our own greed or for whatever. But God, who searches the heart, he cares about providing for us. It's the same thing. But our motives are different from God's motives. Do you know that? Our motives are different. The Bible says Jesus, he cares about the things that we care about, but he knows something better. And he knows something bigger. And he knows what he can do. And he knows what he will do. So there are three things I want to say. First of all, what I want to say is we need to get beyond, if Jesus wept because of unbelief, we need to get beyond the fact that he can to go to he will. Say, yes, God, I know that you can do this. I know that you can heal me. I know that you can heal my friends. I know that you can provide for me. I know that you can give me that job that I need. I know that you can, whatever in your life, but you can. It's easy to say, yes, Lord, I know that you can. That's easy faith. But the hard faith is saying, yes, Lord, I know you will. Even if it's not your timing. Even if it's not right away. Remember, Jesus waited how long before he went to Bethany? He didn't go right away. So our timing isn't God's timing necessarily. But it didn't change the fact that he did what he did. It didn't matter if Lazarus was in the grave for 2 days, for 4 days, for 18 days, for exactly what he was going to do, and Lazarus came out alive, right? So we need to understand that we need to go beyond from he can to he will. We need to accept the fact that because he's promised it, okay? There's three things that God has for you that I want to talk to you about. The first one is plan. God has a plan for you. Do you know that God has a plan for you? The Bible says, in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. The Bible says in Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Okay, stop and think about that for a minute. Go back to the days, this is kind of a sick thought, but go back to the days where you were in your mama's womb, where you were a twinkle in your mama's eye, right? Yeah, I know. How many of you remember that day? Yeah. That's a weird thing if you do, Brenda. So you're in your mama's womb. You're being formed. And God is right there. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, O God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What does that have to do with anything? We find out a little bit later in Jeremiah, I knew you in your mother's womb. I formed you, and I set you apart. Even then, I set you apart for my purposes. So y'all have a plan. Everybody say, I have a plan.
I have a plan.
But it's not mine. It's the Lord's.
Amen.
Amen. For you. In Matthew, he talks about the sparrows. Do you remember the verse where he says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries for itself. And then he goes on to talk about how even the sparrows, they can find their food. They got their food. They've got the clothes, their coat on them. They know. They're good. They're set. They don't have to worry about that sort of thing. And yet God says that you are far more important than those sparrows. Do you know that those sparrows were created for you? Do you know that from the beginning of time when God created this whole earth, he set it up and he goes, this is all yours. This is your inheritance. That right there puts you above them. That puts you above them in stature. He has so much love for you. You can't imagine the love that he has for you, that he would create this whole thing just for you, as an inheritance for you. And so he says, don't worry about it. Look, if I will provide for even the sparrows, I'll provide for you. So God has a promise and the Bible, for as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. Somebody say yes. In him they are yes. Not only are they yes, therefore through him is our amen. So his promises are yes and amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We're getting to be Baptists here. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There it is. Hallelujah. Promises of God, in him they are yes, therefore also through him they are
amen.
To the glory of God through us. And finally, God has provision for us. So if he's got a plan, and if he's got a promise for you, you have to know that he has a provision for you, okay? So if God put you, how many of you are still on this earth right now? How many of you are living and breathing? Uh-huh. You've been given this day, right? You've been put in this earth. In this day, for a specific purpose, he's given you a plan. He's given you a promise. But now, how many of you know that he's got a provision for you? See, a lot of times, we have to be the ones to find the provision. Or we have to be the ones to ask and to pull for and to long for this provision. But God has already mapped it out. Have ever had to put together solder's furniture or something like that? Yeah. So you've got, what would you do? Now, this is a bad reference because I know sometimes this happens. Well, what would you do if you got the plan? If you got the what do they call that?
Instruction.
You
never look at that.
I don't look at that thing. They make those things? Instruction manual. What if he gave you an instruction manual? He gave you the material, the wood, but he never gave you the screws. Never gave you the little dowel rods or never gave you, what did you say?
Anchors.
The anchors or anything. What happens if they told you to do all these things, but they never gave you the right tools? What would you do? Would you be able to put it together? Okay, were the tools already there? When you bought the product, were the anchors there? Were the dowel rods there?
Yes.
Yeah, all except that one that seems to escape somehow. I don't know how. But you're always one part short. If that was provided for you, don't you think that that's how God is too? If he's got a plan for you, if he's got a promise for you, if he says, this is what I'm going to do for you, then don't you think that he's also got the provision for you right there in the time that you need it? I want to give you some scripture real quick to prove my point. Philippians 4:19, if you want to write these down, you can write these down. I challenge you to write them down, keep them, look at them often as a reminder. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need, all need of yours, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him. Psalms 81:10 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And then Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And then Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness will be added to you. And finally, Proverbs 10:3, and there's a whole bunch more, but Proverbs 10:3 says, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Okay, so in much of these verses, did you catch a theme? How are you to get that provision? Trust. The Bible says that seek first. Seek first what?
Kingdom.
The kingdom. What does that mean? That means we got to chase after God. That means we have to align ourselves with Him. That means we got to get in the Word. Amen. That means we have to understand His plan for us. We have to begin to understand His promise for us. And I'm not talking about individual, like, you got to know every little thing about your plan that God has for you. I'm not talking about that. And you have to know that it's good and that it's prosperous. And you have to know, too, that He has a promise for you. And that when He says He's going to do something with you and for you, He means it. He's not unfaithful. He's not a God who's unfaithful. How many of us have been really hurt by people who've made promises and they've broken them? Yeah. That's not God. God is not that kind of a God. If He makes a promise, He's going to keep it. That's His deal. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. So if we seek His righteousness, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but He thwarts the craving of the wicked. Why did Jesus weep? He wept because they did not know. They couldn't get it in their heads. All the things that He did throughout the course of His ministry. I mean, up to that point, He was healing the sick. He was giving sight to the blind. He was casting out demons. One woman had seven of them. And He cast them out. Don't name names, please. We get in trouble big time. He did all of these things, and His disciples were going, somebody from the dead? I thought we were bound by the law of death. But Jesus says, no, I'm the resurrection and the life. If you align yourself with Me, if you believe in Me, if you're walking with Me, if you're following Me, you will live. You could die, but you'll live. Okay? So Jesus was weeping because people were not aligning themselves with Him. It reminds me of back in the desert, when they were back in the desert. They were 400 years enslaved in Egypt. And God released them. Not only did He release them, they saw some signs. Man, they saw a staff turn into a snake, turn back into a staff. They saw leprosy being healed. They saw water turning to blood. Now, that's the power of God. But they get out in the desert, and what happens? They forget. The God that delivered us seems to not be able to lead us. But that's not our God. And He tried to prove Himself over and over and over. And then, after Malachi, the prophet Malachi, then there's 400 years more where it seems like God is silent. And then they bring God, at the right time, God brings about His Messiah for the people. Another deliverance. And the same thing happens. He does all of these miracles, all of these amazing things, and yet nobody believed. How many of you have seen God at work in people's lives? Yeah, and how many of us know, and I do it too, how many of us know that God is good, but we forget in our everyday walk? How many of us know that God can do all of these great things, but how many of us don't realize that He will? And we need to get beyond the idea that God can to move into the fact that God will. That's the kind of faith He's looking for you. That's the kind of faith He wants from you. That's the kind of faith that He desires from you. And when you give that kind of faith, look out, because these are the ways that God will show you, hey, you've believed in Me that I will. I'm gonna. And watch how it manifests in your life. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that whoever believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they can be saved. They will be saved. That's the kind of faith He wants from you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much that You have given us the opportunity to be in a relationship with you, so much so that, Father, that we have everything we need right in front of us to know your character. We have everything we need right in front of us to believe in you. We have all the stories. We have all the testimonies. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We ask for it. We ask for it this morning. And I thank you so much that you've given us the ability to learn your character, to know your character, to experience your character. And Father, that we can have that faith that not only that you can, but that you will do what you say you can do. And that you will do what you say you will do. We love you so much, Father, and we thank you so much that we could be in your presence today. I pray that as people leave here, that they will carry the words that are yours from this message, and that they will put them to use, Father. They will meditate on them. They'll pray over them. And, Father, that they would begin to have a faith that's strong. They would begin to increase their faith, Father, so that you would heal them and that you would bring provision for them too. I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. His promises are yes.